20, verse 12. It's the passage of the Ten Commandments. So we're going to be looking at the fifth commandment that God gave us. And it reads this way. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Can you say that with me? Quote it with me. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. When God commands something, he means it. Amen? It's not a suggestion. It's not a guideline. It's not a principle. It's a direct command to honor our father and our mother. And I want to acknowledge those. How many in the room are brand new fathers since last Father's Day, you've become a father? Okay, a couple in the back. It's always the back. It's this section back here is when where the new dads and the new moms hang out. It's an awesome thing, isn't it, to transition? And I'm sure you understand, as I understood with my first child, you start to understand God the Father way more when you become a father. Amen. You realize a different love, a different power. And I became a grandfather for the first time this year, and I was boasting about that in a pastor's meeting. And it's a dangerous thing to do around other pastors, especially older men. And one guy that I've known for maybe 30 years at least, mountain man, his name is Smokey. And he's way up in the, I don't even know where his town is. It's just up there where you have to drive an hour and a half to get to the nearest 7-Eleven, that kind of out there. And I was boasting, oh, I got my first grandson, and I was telling the story. And he just shook his head. And he didn't downplay me, because he says, you know what? I just got to tell you, I got 84 grandchildren. And I got 18 great-grandchildren. And he just left it settle at that. And I thought, oh, man, how do you do that? How does that even happen? And I thought, my goodness, that's a full quiver, amen? That's a lot of descendants. Now, I soon found out he had a wife, and she passed away, and then married another woman, and she brought in. So he kind of cheated a little bit. But there's a lot of honor when you build that kind of a household. And we want to learn today what it means not only to honor our fathers, but fathers, what it means for you to teach your children how to honor you. I know we've got a mixed group always on Sunday morning. Some of you are brand new parents. Some of you have young children. Some have teenagers. Some of you are like us and you're empty nesters. And so there's various types of families here this morning. So what we can learn is how to honor our parents, and then those that still have children that are in the home and you're raising them, how do you teach them to honor you? When God said this commandment, the fifth one, the commandment was to a nation, not to a specific person or family. God was speaking to a people group, the nation of Israel. And I don't think it's too far outside of our awareness that in the United States, and I'm not sure about other cultures, I know some about other cultures, but in our culture, we don't seem to be a people who make a diligent effort to honor our fathers. Maybe it's just Hollywood and the networks, I don't know, but it's hard to, it seems to find a television program or even a movie sometimes that holds the father in highest regard. Usually the butt of jokes, usually the one that makes the mistakes, and the wife or the teenager has to come in and fix everything that the father messed up. It is a serious issue because God said this. If you honor your fathers and your mothers, talking about dads today, though, if you honor them, it will go well with you in the land that I'm giving you. This principle is powerful. And we as the Christian church need to adopt that principle and fight against the wave of downgrading fathers. Because if I'm Satan this morning and I want to bring a spiritual malaise or a spiritual laziness or blindness or decay, I'm going to start to chip away at the image of God so that the people don't have clarity on who God is. They don't know who he is. They won't respond to him and accept him. God gave us fathers as a visible earthly image of who he is. God called himself Father. Not that he's male or female. He isn't either one. It's a positional title, not a biological or gender-ish type title. And then when he called himself Father, as authority, as head, as provider, as protector, then he made man and woman and gave them two distinct roles. Equal people, different functions. And he gave man the role of father. Is it any surprise then that it's fatherhood that gets the beating? in our mainstream medias? Because if you can decay the image of Father, you can decay the image of God. You following me this morning? We have to fight against that. And we have to honor our fathers, and we have to raise them and respect them well. And fathers, we need to teach our kids how to honor us. That might be a little awkward, but it's true. We have to teach them that. And then God said he'll bless us, and he'll bless our nation, and he'll bless our land. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's actually a verse that talks about the other side of this, and it says this, that in the last day, children will be disobedient to their parents. Do we see a lot of that today? Of course, that there's resistance and rebellion, and it becomes it's more and more and more and more, it seems, with each passing decade. God said there'll be a judgment on the people in the nation who curse their parents and who come against their fathers. This is serious stuff. The blessing of God versus the cursing of God, and it revolves around how we honor our fathers. Well, what does it mean to honor our father? To esteem or value. In your notes, I'm there. To esteem or value? Do you esteem and value your father? And I know I'm treading on waters here that might touch on some sensitive nerves. And I'll get to that part in just a little bit. But I realize that some of you may have some deep wounds in regard to the relationship with your father. Hopefully after today, you'll be able to think that through and see the positional power of our fathers in our lives. It also means this word honor, to consider worthy of greatest respect. To consider worthy of greatest respect. That's powerful. What do you have respect for? Well, the greatest respect is reserved for your father. The pastor, my father wasn't a good guy. The Bible didn't say honor your fathers if he's a good guy. It said honor your father. It's not as easy for some as it is for others. Follow me as we walk through this. Children, they don't know innately how to honor. Dads, moms, you have to teach them. You have to teach them how to honor you. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give to your kids if you teach them how to honor you. You make them honor you. You discipline them to honor you. And it's not because you're an egomaniac on some kind of self-aggrandizement trip. You teach them that because it will go well with them. God will bless them when they honor you. It may be one of the most important things you can teach them. I know this. Boys learn to become men when their fathers teach them how to honor them. And they learn how to then teach their children how to honor them. Boys learn how to treat women when they have a father teaching them how to honor. They know how to then treat young ladies and to treat them with respect when they are respectful to their fathers and their fathers teach them. Girls learn how to be ladies, and they learn what kind of men to give themselves to when they're old enough to marry. They'll know the characteristics. They'll know the qualities because dad taught them those qualities and how he taught her to honor him. We need to teach them how to honor. It's not pastors. It's not teachers. It's not coaches. Dads, you can't pawn this job off on anybody else. You're the guy. Don't rely on the youth pastor, although we got good ones here. Don't rely on me. I'm doing the best I can. Don't rely on the teachers and anybody else. Certainly don't rely on any other, self-help or media or other stuff. It's you. It's you. Dad, it's you. Take the mantle. Take the role. It's a great role. It's a powerful role. It's a privileged role. It's not an easy role. That's yours and yours alone. Teach them, dads, how to pray. Teach them how to read the word. Teach them, whether by words or by modeling, how to live out the word of God. Let them see you worship. Let them hear you pray. Let them see you opening up God's word. Let them see you and hear you and your wives obey God and honor him in your decision making. Let them learn by watching you. Well, why should I honor my father? Why should I honor him? I want to give you three reasons why you should honor your father. Number one, because God commands it. To dishonor your parents is to dishonor God. We already read Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father. That's a command, not a suggestion. Dads, you'll get this. When your child says, when you tell them to do something and they say, but Dad, why? What's the best first response? Because I said so. It's the best reason in the world. Do you need to give another reason? Do you need to negotiate? Not really. It's a command. Because I said so. And when you teach your children because you said so, then they learn how to honor you. Because that's what God says. God doesn't negotiate with us, does he? He says, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't do this, there'll be problems for you. Enough said. Let's go to lunch. Because God said, it's a command. Dads, this is for you. And it's yours. Why is it a command? Because God made us in his image. If you can't obey a father that you can see, how are you going to obey a heavenly father that you cannot see? If you can't obey a father you can talk to, how can you obey a father that you can pray to and sometimes have a hard time hearing his voice? How do you obey a present physical father? Or if you can't obey a present physical father, how do you obey a everywhere present, but spiritual father? God made us in his image in a very real way, parents. You are the creative force that God used. So in a kind of a sideways way, parents, you're the creator of your children by the power of God as he made us biologically to function that way. So when you dishonor the people that God made in his image and that you're made in their image, you dishonor the image maker. And you dishonor God. That's why God commands it. Honor your father, because honoring your father is honoring God. So God commands it. Number two, you bring on, it brings joy to him. The reason you honor your father, because God commands it. Number two, because it brings him joy. So scripture says in Proverbs 23, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. And that's speaking about sons, but daughters are no different and they're not any less of a joy. I have two daughters and one son. They all three love God. They've all three chosen spouses who love God. There is great joy in our household because of six righteous children. There's great joy in that. Honor your father by honoring God. It brings him great joy. Athletes often look at the camera after doing something great and they say, hi, mom, because they know moms like that kind of stuff. But dads want to know that you're doing it right, and they're proud because you did it well. It brings them joy. You bear their name. You bear their image. Honor your father because God commands it. Honor your father because it will bring him joy. Honor your father because you will be blessed. You will be blessed when you honor your father. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Some misconstrue that and think it's, oh, if I honor my father, I'm going to live to be 100. I'm going to have a long life. It's not necessarily saying that. You could be a really righteous kid of a righteous father and in God's perfect will, pass away younger. What this means is it's a statement to the nation of Israel. And he's saying, as a people group, as a nation, part of my establishing you as a people is if you honor your parents and therefore honor God, when you do that, the generations will be born and they'll be perpetuated and they will honor God. And if you honor me over the generations, I will bless your nation. I will keep the enemies away and you'll prosper. Did the nation of Israel accomplish that? They didn't. And God's word became true. They didn't live as long as God wanted them to in the land, but his promises are still intact, and he brought them back 2,000-something years later, and that's what we're going to talk about during the summer. Don't miss the summer series. It's going to be awesome. So the people will live long in the land when the culture honors their God. Now, we have a tendency to do this. When we comes to honor, we have a tendency to throw out everything someone has said if they make a mistake. Let me just ask for honesty this morning. How many fathers in this room have ever made a mistake? Okay, let's make it fair. How many ladies in the room have ever made a mistake? Okay, teenagers, you know, I'm not raising your hand. How many teenagers have made mistakes? Okay, there you go, Goose. Get that hand up, buddy. All right. Okay, so do we want anybody to throw out everything we've said because we made a mistake? We do this with pastors all the time, and it makes me a little squeamish because I know how many mistakes I make. But when pastors have a tremendous fall or a you know, just a major sin that causes them to be removed from their pulpits and their churches, people have a tendency then to say, I cannot believe anything they ever said. Right? They messed up in that area, and it was a big, big mess up. So I can't trust anything they say. Is that fair? It isn't really, isn't it? We have to be wise enough to take the mistakes for what they were, as egregious as they might be, but still retain the things that are still good. You say today, I have a hard time honoring my father because he wasn't a good father. And that's sad but true in a lot of cases. Well, I want to ask this question again, and I said it before. Did God say honor your father, or did God say honor your father only when he's a good father? You see, remember, because when you honor him, it's an honoring of God thing. And when you honor God, who is always good, you can then begin to honor men who aren't always good. And when you do that, God's blessing will rest on you. I want to challenge you to do that. Don't throw your dads away. They're not perfect. They've got hurts and wounds and baggage that you don't know about, and they're probably never going to tell you. Honor him. Love him. That's not excusing the things that he may have done wrong. That's not sweeping under the rug things that he may have said that were wounding to you or things that he did. You're not just excusing those by honoring him, but you're honoring him because he's your father and because God has established that in our lives. God honors you when you honor God and when you honor his word. So why should you honor him? Because God commands it. You should honor him because it will bless him, and you should honor him because it will be a blessing for you as you honor God. So let me give you seven last things. You say, oh man, you've already been going for 20 minutes. You got seven more? Don't worry. These are going to be quick. I know fathers. Fathers want to get to lunch. I get that. On Mother's Day, they like to linger. On Father's Day, they like to go. Okay. So let me give you seven practical ways that you can honor your father. Seven practical. Number one, obey him. How can I honor a father? Obey him. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1 says, there are some things that are just right. Gravity is right. It's always right. It's never wrong. You jump, you'll fall. That's the way it works. Other things that are right. One of them is honor your father in the Lord, for this is right. For many of the reasons that I've already discussed this morning. We honor God, we honor our parents, we obey God. It doesn't mean you can't have an honest discussion with them. It doesn't mean that. You can have a discussion. Just do it honorably. Do it respectfully. Young people, you'll learn quickly that your parents don't know everything. And then you'll learn a little while later when you get to be young adults that they know a whole lot more than you thought they knew. Jacqueline, you nailed it. They know stuff. And there's one of the reasons they know stuff is because they've been around the sun a lot more times than you. They've been places that you don't. That you haven't been and that you don't even know you're going to be. Honor them and respect them. And parents, fathers, teach your children how to do this. Teach your children to respect you. You have to. Years and years and years ago, maybe it was 30-something years ago, I was maybe one or two years here as a youth pastor, and I was standing in the foyer, right in that little foyer out there, talking to a gentleman, and his, six, seven-year-old son came screaming down the aisle, and he caught him out of the side of my eye just enough to avoid his attack. And he jumped through and gave his dad a flying side karate kick as I'm talking in the foyer. And it's kind of enough force that it kind of jolted his dad a little bit. And I thought, in my mind, I thought, that kid is dead where he stands. Because that's what I would do. He's dead. And the dad just kind of caught himself and he went, oh, son, great kick. And then my heart went, you are a stupid dad. A very dumb man. Because he's just now encouraged disrespect. Regardless of kicking in anywhere, but to your father, there's some things you do and some things you don't do. You can wrestle and play with your kid. And I thought that they probably would have wrestling matches at home and that was what was going on. And the son just couldn't discern between a right time and a right place. I kind of got all that. But dad didn't help him. And I don't know what happened to that child. He's now probably in his late 30s living somewhere. Hopefully he learned better. But that was a dad moment right there to say, son, not appropriate. There's a time and a place. We can save it for home. And teach him in that moment. You got to teach him how to obey you. What if you have parents? What if you're older now and you have your own spouse? Do you still have to obey your parents? Well, there's time for discussion. I don't all the time do everything my parents think that I should do in my household because I'm the man of my house now. I've been that for a long time. And we've made decisions between my wife and I, and it hasn't always been agreeable. But that doesn't mean you haven't honored them. So we're not tying down adult children to the words of elderly children or elderly parents to do everything they say. But there's honor as you can maybe explain why you do things different. Do you honor the parent that's been a tough one? Yes, we know that already. It doesn't excuse what they've done. You can learn from their mistakes, though, and you can honor them anyway. So obey them. Number two, encourage him. 1 Timothy 5:1 says, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but encourage him as if he were your father. Now that's a church word. That's a church thing saying honor the older man in the church. But it says as if you were your father, assuming you're already doing that. Encourage him. I've mentioned this already, but guys, get this. Maybe your dad's put on the tough exterior. They put on the, you know, the thick skin and they act like things are always, you know, in control, but they're not. They've had struggles. They were young boys at one time. They've got their own wounds that they struggle through, their own insecurities, their own stuff that they fight with, their own temptations that they fight with. And there's nothing that I know of that helps so much more than when those that love him encourage him and they build him up. And you let him know that you're proud of him. Do that. Tell him those things. He doesn't know what you think. You've got to tell him and you've got to honor him that way. One of the best ways I know how to encourage your father is to ask him questions. Ask him questions. Not questions designed to stump him. Questions that would allow him to open up and to give you advice. Men are naturally wired to be problem solvers. Doesn't mean we're always good at it, but we like to do that. And when our ladies or our kids say, Dad, I've got a problem. Can you help? Men, let me just ask you, would that just be like an electric charge in your chair and you want to run to help because you see your loved one needs you? Being needed is fuel to us. The one I love needs me. My children that I adore need me. And you let him know that when you say, hey, Dad, I got a question. Or, hey, Dad, I need some advice. Dad, I was thinking about, what do you think? Man, let me just try to reaffirm to the people in the room. Is that music to your ears? Because that's the way we're built. We're built to be that person. And there's nothing worse when our word gets disregarded. When you just toss it aside as meaningless and take the word of your friends instead of your father. Let me just remind you what happened to Solomon. Or rather, not Solomon, but Rehoboam, Solomon's son. So that after Solomon died, his son became king. And his son decided to listen to the advice of his friends instead of listening to the advice of the older men. Let me just cut to the end of the story. It didn't go well. Not good to listen to the advice of people who have not been there and disregard to the ones that have been there. I read recently in a church growth a periodical about what makes churches grow. And out of the seven things, I agreed pretty much with six of them, but the seventh one bothered me. And it said this, younger churches grow. So work hard at getting younger. And I thought, you know what? If I'm going to sacrifice the generations and the health of generations for greater numbers, I don't care about greater numbers. I would much rather have the generations that we have in our church body, that we have an abundance of silver hair, and we have the middle group, and we have a lot of young ones, and then we have a lot of kids. I'll take that health any day than greater numbers. Because there's wisdom. There's understanding, and we need that. Encourage him by asking him questions. Number three, care for him. Number one, obey him. Number two, encourage him. Number three, care for him. Children and grandchildren should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice. This is a Christian thing now. Put your religion into practice by caring for your own family. And get this, so repaying your parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. What this basically says is, you owe us. That's what it says. Children and grandchildren, honor your parents and grandparents. Take care of them because you're repaying them for what they did for you. There is no one here alive that remembers the sleepless nights that your parents put in when you were an infant. We love reminding you of those facts, but you don't remember them. You don't remember when they cleaned you when you couldn't clean yourself. I got to dedicate my grandson the other about 4 weeks ago. We were standing on the platform with another young couple. So there was two dedications going on at the same time. And as I was trying to dedicate Luke, soon it became a circus on the stage because the other little baby just blew a massive gasket. It was everywhere. It was this, and it was gone. This whole, it was done. We lost him, and so he had to kind of break, and fortunately, Dad was quick enough to go, wow, and it was just puddle, and yeah, gooey brown puddle everywhere, and it was just, ah! That baby has some repaying to do. When that child is older, absolutely. Now, I don't know, I'm not at the point where I've got to do that for my parents, and maybe I'll hire that job out, I don't know. But the point is this, you got to care for them because they care for you. When we get so selfish that we lose sight and forget to be thankful to our parents for the roof we slept under, for the clothes we wore, for the covers we snuggled with, for the food we ate, for the cars that were used as taxis to drive us around, for all the things that we needed and wanted, and we forget. And to be fair, kids, and you know, we don't think about that stuff. But you think about it when you're older. But I'm teaching you now. Teach your kids to remember that because when you're older, they're the ones that are going to be by your side. They're the ones that will be taking care of you. So obey him. Encourage him. Care for him. Number four, heed his wisdom. Proverbs 1:8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Here's what I know. For thousands and thousands of years, this has been true. People of all over the world have awakened one day to the startling fact that my parents knew things that I didn't know they knew. It all happens to all of us. We go through this period where our parents know everything, and then we get a little older, and then our parents know less and less, and then they know nothing, and then it comes full circle to realizing they know a lot. Nothing is greater than when one of the kids will call Sandra or myself and say, hey, how do you do this? And it's validation because they know where to come to. And we don't have all the answers, but we at least have learned where to find them at this point. Your father knows stuff that you don't know. Heed his wisdom. Listen to his words, even when maybe they don't come out quite right. Watch his life. I like these little bits of wisdom from dads. Measure twice, cut once. It's good wisdom. Drive like everyone else is an idiot. It's not the job you do, it's how you do the job. There are talkers and doers. Which one are you? If you tell the truth, you won't ever have to remember what you said. If you're around trouble, then you're going to probably get in trouble. Work hard to be your best. Unless you're the lead dog, the scenery never changes. Good words of wisdom. What does your dad say? What is that? Oh, my dad always says. And maybe you're thinking, oh, he always says that. Here's what I guarantee. When you're older, you're going to say that. You are. You're going to hear your father's words coming out of your mouth. And you're going, I can't believe I just said that. How'd that get in there? Honor your father. I love the African culture, especially in the eastern part. I don't know if this is everywhere, but in the Swahili language culture, they have a word called mzee. Mzee. And when you call somebody mzee, it means old man. But it's a word of respect. That when you say mzee, it's very great respect. And in that culture, gray hair and wrinkles are highly respected. I love going to Africa. The grayer my goatee got and the balder I got, I began to be mzee. Unless I was around a greater mzee, and then I got bumped down the ladder a little bit. But it's great. You go there, they won't let you carry stuff. They won't let you open doors. And I say, man, how do we get Africa to these states? How can we create that? But it's honor. It's honor. So heed his wisdom. Number five, provide financially for him. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's hard teaching, isn't it? If you want to be worse than an unbeliever, don't take care of your immediate family financially. And the reason you're worse than an unbeliever is because unbelievers, at least, they get it without having to be commanded by God. We get that. Take care of your people. If you don't, then what are you doing? It's not even a propriety thing. It's a God thing. It's bigger. Take care of them. You say, I'm working hard to take care of my own. Well, they worked hard to take care of yours. Now it's your turn. Help out. Doesn't mean you got to pay for everything. But it's our responsibility to financially be a part of their lives as well. Number one, obey. Number two, encourage. Number three, care. Number four, heed their wisdom. Number five, meet the needs financially. Number six, speak well of them. Speak well of him. Scripture says this, Proverbs 20:20. If someone curses his father, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Ooh, that one sends a shiver. If you curse your father, your lamp will be snuffed out. Speak highly of them, both in and out of their presence. You know what's really a great compliment is when your father hears that you said something nice about him to somebody else. That's a wonderful thing. That you talk well about your parents. Now, I know that some groups of people don't do that. That maybe when young people are talking, oh, my dad, he's so annoying. He does, la, la, la. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just avoid the conversation. Walk away. Or be the opposite. Say, well, my dad's different than that. And it's not a, well, my dad's better than your dad. But you can model. And don't take part in the dishonoring of your father when he's not around. Speak well of him. Why? Because God will bless you. And he won't snuff out your lamp. He's your father. He's not the old man. Do they say that anymore? I don't know what they say anymore. In my generation, they used to say that. The old man. Well, if you're in Africa and say, Mzee, that's okay. In this culture, that was derogatory. He's not your old man. He's your father. Honor him. Speak well of him. Don't complain to him about your or complain to your friends about him. When his name comes up, don't eye roll. Last one, number seven, respect his friends. Proverbs 27:10. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. Respect his friends. When you respect his friends, you respect him. When you honor the people that he cares about in his peer group, you respect him. When you take time to greet your father's friends and interact with them, it leaves a tremendous impression. I remember one evening, a couple came and visited with Sandra and I. And for that entire evening, the kids sat with us around the table and interacted with the conversation. And after that, those two parents, who had very, very little children, said, this night changed our life. We watched how your kids interacted and treated us with respect. And they then took that mantle. And they're now raising very, very respectful kids. We were honored because the children honored our friends. It's a great thing that your kids can do. And parents, you got to teach them how to do that. Got to quit. We're running out of time. Evaluate how you honor your father. These are questions for you personally. They're questions for your small group. They're questions for you to discuss with your people. But there's just seven of them. Do I consider my father a gift to be prized? That may be tough for some of you. Maybe difficult. But he's still the gift that God gave to you. Do you honor him? Number two, do I seek out the wisdom of my father by asking questions and then listening? Number three, do I honor and respect my father's friends as a way to respect him? Number four, do I take time to ask him how he is doing and try to help him when I can? Number five, do I make an effort to spend time with him and treat him with kindness? Number six, do I realize that honoring my father is honoring God? And number seven, have I forgiven my father for the things that have hurt me? I guarantee you this, because these are all God's word. If you take those seven questions and apply them to the teaching today, you're going to see healthier relationship with your father. You're going to see him respected and honored. And you're going to see him respond to you. Men respond to respect. It's not perfect, but he's the one you've got. My prayer for you today is to honor your father so that we as a culture and that you as a family, that it may go well with you and God will bless you. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, I thank you and give you praise. Lord, for your goodness, for your love, for being our father. And I ask in Jesus' name that where there are hurting people because of something that happened between them and their father, that right now they would choose to say, I realize my father was not perfect. I realize that he made mistakes. But God, to honor you, I will honor him. And I will apply the teaching today to my father. I realize it will take humility and submission. But God, I love you. And I want to do what you've asked me to do. Lord, knowing that when I do that, your blessing will come into my life. For those of us that may have a distant relationship, or maybe it's just not as intimate or close as we would like, God, help us to apply these principles from your word to see our relationships with our dad strengthen. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a blueprint. We don't have to guess into how to live and love our fathers. Father, I give you praise this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for our fathers. Bless them. Encourage them. Fill them with desire to know you. Fill them, God, with a passion for your word. Help them to obey when they're weak. Help them to rely on you when they're confused. God, encourage them that you are with them no matter what. For Lord, we need great men. We need great men. Lord, I thank you that in this church body, we have great men. Help us to be even more so like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sean.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.